This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 4, Episode 80, I continue the Road to Gold Coast Half Marathon series, starring Stephen Butcher from the Bush Turkey Truck Club in Brisbane and Narissa O'Donnell from the Burt Squad, also in Brisbane. Like the previous episode and moving forward, we'll continue with running news today, that running news being about Noosa, the Brisbane Marathon and the Launceston Running Festival, and then get into our fortnight of running. There's been a lot of running and training happening between the three of us in the lead up to this event. So tune in to hear more, and I hope you enjoy listening. All right, welcome listeners to the second episode of the Road to Gold Coast Half Marathon series. I've got the two usual co-hosts here with me. One is down in Tasmania. She's run the Launceston 10K this morning with a PB. So congratulations firstly, and welcome to Burt runner Narissa O'Donnell.
Thanks, Ollie. Good to be back.
Oh, it's great to have you back. And how good's that? Obviously, that's showing you're in some kind of form if you're PBing on the way in a 10K to a half marathon now, only 4 weeks away at Gold Coast.
Yeah, I'm stoked, to be honest. I wasn't sure what shape I was going to be in, and training has been going absolutely amazing. So I wasn't sure whether I could PB. And yeah, I'm really happy. 20-second PB.
Awesome. And the other co-host, he's back again, back for more. He's been out in the hills this morning. I didn't check his Strava, but I think he got close to about 30 kilometres, and elevation must have been somewhere, over 300 metres for that entire run. Stephen, welcome to you from the Bush Turkey Track Club.
Yeah, thanks, Ollie. Good to be back. Yeah, it was. I actually, not quite 30, but I also stopped my watch for about a kilometre, and I think it was 400 metres. So, yeah, it's a nice little hilly loop we did. But, yeah, feeling pretty good after it. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's taken the turkeys on a tour of two of the well-known hills and sites there. What suburb would you call those? They're sort of in the same suburb, aren't they? Those two main hills.
Yeah, so it goes it's Windsor, Wilston, and then the last big one's in Evelyn Park. So just off the Kedron Brook. So you can run pretty flat if you stay on the Kedron Brook. If you go just off, you get a few hills. So. But yeah, anyway, we will talk about that more a bit later, I reckon.
Yes, and Narissa knows the Kedron Brook very well. But let's move ahead to the general purpose of this series. And as I mentioned last time, we've had some great feedback, guys. There's been many feedback coming through. And it's mainly about the fact that people are running Gold Coast and learning a lot about what we're doing and taking ideas from us. Everybody's, of course, different out there in terms of ability. But we can, I guess, certainly learn off anyone running. So hopefully we'll continue to do that today. And the whole purpose is to go through some running news initially in these conversations, but then get to our, I was going to say weekly recaps, but it's fortnightly. So we're going to go back 2 weeks and start to talk about our fortnightly running. But in terms of running news, there's been a lot going on this morning. Obviously, Narissa, she'll talk about Launceston, and Stephen, he'll talk about some Brisbane Marathon stuff and heaps of turkeys, bush turkeys in the Brisbane Marathon event itself across all events. But guys, I was out at the Noosa Marathon, Runaway Marathon Festival, isn't it called, last week. And I was with my dad, largely there for my dad to support him in the half marathon. He'd run a L35 as a 66-year-old, so he's boding pretty well for himself. And he was second in his age category, so shout out for dad to start with. But I was also there for an athlete. I kicked off my running business again this year with the Local Legends brand, and my first athlete in his first race was participating. That was Nick, and Nick scored a PB in the half marathon too, just beating my father, ironically, by 30 seconds. So I did talk to dad before that about him running, but it's funny how they were so close. Yeah, guys, a bit of a recap of the feel and atmosphere. I do feel the atmosphere is there, that it's quite contained. You guys have been up there. It's 5K out, 5K back. So the crowds kind of really line the streets for a lot of it. Not many races are like that, hey, where you're looping across a 5K out and back course. It does add to that vibe. What I think it's lacking in is the course is too overcrowded. It's quite hard for the faster runners to compete at a high level because they're running up the back of the other runners. And that's not their fault. That's just the way that the course lends itself too. So we can't blame the runners. They're just trying to do their best out on the course. And it probably does, in saying that, lend itself, I think, more so to those recreational joggers out there who just want to get it done and enjoy it. Whereas, well, one example is I saw Alex Harvey. He was the winner in the end. He was behind the lead bike. He was just shouting at these guys to move out the way, because he basically, the half marathon goes off. It's a 15-minute gap between both events. So Alex comes back around and he's running up the back of those marathoners and half marathoners eventually, I guess, in terms of trying to get through there. So I saw him actually deviate onto the footpath for about 200 meters just by coincidence in that moment. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, this is terrible for Alex and anyone else out there. Then saw the ladies come through, and similar for the ladies with the lead bike trying to get people out the way. So I think for me, the answer is to go to 2 days for that event. But that's a logistical change, isn't it? Well, just considering how we do the marathon and half marathon there within the same morning. Narissa, you might talk about Launceston too, because they run all events bar the marathon, don't they, out at that event. So there's a few things to think about in terms of the course. But in terms of results, Alex, as I mentioned, won the marathon. Ben Cook from BERT was in second. Andy Day, BERT. So two of the top three, Narissa, from the BERT squad for the men. And Olivia Beck, Eleanor Goldrick, Hannah Brellisford. I don't know any of those ladies in the top three marathon. Narissa, do you?
No, I haven't heard of any of those ladies either, but they ran well. Anything under 3 hours is, yeah, good running.
Yeah, 54, 56, 59, and 28, 34, 37. Obviously, 2:28, 2:34, 2:37 for the men there. And then the half, we had Hamish Hamilton, Kieran Perkins in second from BERT. Craig Davis, and for the women, Samantha Vance, Ella McCartney. She's been on the podcast, a 118 for both of them. Actually, it was a 118 affair. Alex Cawthra, also high 118. So that was super close. I heard some commotion about Ella, one of them turning the wrong way at the end of the race. I'm not sure if Narissa, you heard about this, but just coming into the finish, something happened there and it just deviated potentially those results.
Oh no, I didn't hear about that. I just saw some finish videos on Ella's where it was very close. It looked like a sprint finish at the end, which is the last thing I'd want to be doing at the end of a half marathon. But no, I didn't hear that someone went the wrong way.
Yeah, not ideal. And
No.
I hope I've got that right. I'm not sure of the story entirely, but in the 10K, it's good to see Louis McAfee back. He's from the Gold Coast Run Co. He's been out there, run a fantastic debut marathon at Gold Coast. I think it was 3 years ago now, and he ran a 31:08 to come third in the men. And again, the women, I don't know these ladies. 36, 36, 37 for Siobhan Sefton, Mishi Canning, and Ellie Ryan. Just a quick shout out for the 5K guys. Matt Turner, he's a Nudgee College student in year 9. He won the 5K 2 days after competing in the GPS competition, where he'd run 4K and won that event over Limestone Park, grass hills, all that kind of stuff. Comes out, runs a 15:28 as a 14-year-old. So he's one to watch moving forward. So, pretty epic those results. But yeah, I just think, what do you think, guy? What do you guys think? Sorry, of the course and how we can cater that more for both ends, faster and the slower runners.
It is pretty hard, I think, like, because I've only done Noosa once, and I mean, like, other than the drink stations, like, which I'm, over a half marathon distance or a marathon, you definitely need a drink, which I think I just end up maybe only getting one. But outside of that, I found it not too bad. But, like, yeah, I'm not sure what you do, because there's not, unless you go a bit further down the road, or make it maybe a one lap, that's one thing they could look at. But then, yeah, as you said, that's a logistical challenge, and that's new approvals, measuring the course, and yeah, I'm not sure. And it's a Noosa is hard. It's just sort of, there's not much extra really road to go that would be like great for running, I suppose. Yeah, but you could look at the 2 day option. They do the swim on the Sunday, so whether you chuck some of the smaller events. And but yeah, even then, I mean, it's probably the half marathon and marathon being on the same day, which is the real problem. But yeah, not sure. It's a tough one.
Yeah, what do you
Yeah,
think, Marissa?
I've done Noosa quite a few times last year and the year before. As the events are getting more and more popular, I've found it, yeah, more and more of a nightmare trying to go past and lap people. I do love Noosa because of the 2 laps. Like, my girls often and family come and watch, and you can do the first lap and then they cheer you on and you go back out again. Like, it's great from a spectator point of view. They can see you a couple times more than just like a straight out and back half. But yeah, running past lapping people it is hard when you're trying to run fast. But I don't know what they can do. I think, yeah, the best option is splitting the marathon and the half marathon. But and even the timing of it is odd, if they go 15 minutes before the half. But I don't even think if you made a bigger time gap, it would make too much of a difference, because the marathon has to do 4 laps. It's just so many laps to be going past people. Like, it needs to either be a bigger course or different days, I think, to avoid the lapping. But it's just part of what Noosa is now. When I went to Christchurch, it's also a lapped course, so it's similar to Noosa. It's 2 laps for the half, 4 laps for the marathon, and towards the end of the half, we were lapping 10K marathoners and half, and it was like 4K on a bike path, not even a road. So we had the same logistical problem there. I think it's just now running events are getting so big, it's hard.
Yeah, it's getting definitely bigger and bigger, and that's factual by participation numbers, and it increased again this year. But yeah, if we're catering for most in that event, then you're certainly happy as someone facilitating an event if most people are happy. I'm talking about most of those slower recreational runners compared to the elites, and they're not throwing out too much money for paying these athletes too for winning and podium either. So yeah, they've just got to think about how they're going to attract those elite runners moving forward. But we might move forward into the Brisbane Marathon Festival, Stephen. I had you on that one for results. I've got them up there on our agenda, but we had heaps of bush turkeys in there too that you'll get to as well.
Yeah, I'll read out. I've got the results here. So the marathon was won in a pretty quick time. Takatakki Mori in 2:21, which is, yeah, a really great time on that course.
Oh,
Then
yeah.
I'm probably butchering these names, sorry. And Kai
Yeah.
Sabori,
You got some hard ones.
yeah, in 2:24. And then Brad Carlefeld, who we were just talking about this on the run this morning. He's a 2000 Olympian, I believe, from the triathlon days, and he ran 2:35. But I think he was pacing someone, his wife or something, for the first half. Then in the girls, I don't know. Well, I didn't know the first two guys in the marathon, but the girls was won by Catherine Parkinson, Zoe Manning, and Melanie Margery, in 2:43, 2:47, and 2:54, which is, yeah, that again, that's really, like, that's good times. And Brisbane is by no means the easiest
No.
course. I'll rip through the half. Oh,
I don't know who this is and how you pronounce his name.
Gishi Abdi Waki. They again won in a great time of 106:44. Ben Cook, that name rings a bell, but I'm
Yeah,
not sure
Bert.
what it
Yeah, Bert
is.
Runner.
Okay, yeah, and 109:41, which is a great time, and Cohen Hans Feiger in 71. So Got some shocking names here, but yeah, they, again, like that's pretty solid times. I know that often Tim Vincent's won that in a little bit quicker, but you don't have the depth. But that seems to be a little bit of depth there, which is good to see. And then for the women's side, Rinny Ringi, who's a Gold Coast runner, runs with Kyle Weiss, I believe. She won it in 75 minutes. Radka Karlefeldt, as what I alluded to before, with
Oh,
she
yeah.
was, I believe, paced by Brad in 118, which is, yeah, great time. And then Cassie Feehan, who is a pretty well-known name in 118.54. So some good times there. I'll just go through the tens.
That 10 is super fast, and I don't know who that is.
Yeah, Trevor Cooper. I haven't heard of him, but 28.30 is a, oh, that's an elite time. Oh, we went to Launceston. That was one in not much slower on a pretty hilly course. So me would run in 28.30, and then Rowan Hickey 30.45, and then Jackson Passon Wright in 30.59. I mean, they're great times as well. And then on the girls' side, Yi Fang Cai in 32.32, which again is a really solid time. In Addison Huslip in 35.52, and then Tamara Carfolth in 36.39. So, I mean, over all those events, they're pretty solid running. That's good times. Like, I've only done the 10K at Brisbane, but it is not a fast course. But I'll just give it, if it's all right, I'll just give some of the turkeys a shout out, because we had quite a few guys in action who ran pretty well. So Charlie Costa, who's coached by Ollie, he had a blinder and ran 258, 52. And I heard from the coach that he'd been a little bit sick and was stressing out about. So that's, I think he's turned that round and had a great run. We had two really great runs in a half marathon. Taz Savage, who, yeah, lots of people locally will know, ran 116.41. I ran with him on Wednesday, and he'd sort of said that he thought that maybe 117 would be a good time for him, and thought he maybe on a flat course he'd be in 115 shape. So 116.41 is a great time. He from what I can tell of and chat to him, he seems pretty stoked with that. And then Jassy was 122.45, and then Celia Garcia, she's a pretty solid runner. She's run 37.45, and on the Bush Turkey post here, that said the fourth female, so she's had a really good day as well. So just keen to give some Bush Turkey some shout outs there. So they've all run really exceptionally well.
Yeah, for sure. Anyone there that you knew of? There is a couple of Burt runners that I saw were participating as well.
I saw, of course, Ben. He packed up for the marathon last weekend in Noosa. That's amazing. Derek was in the marathon. He was fifth. They're the two Burt ones that stand out. There might have been a few more, but they're the top Burt runners.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, just quickly on Charlie. He just followed the coaching and programming so well. He's a young guy, kind of new to the sport, a couple of years at the most, and super impressed with his execution. He actually, something happened to his ankle about 23K in, and he's just kept going at it. He went from sort of 20-minute 5K splits to 22 and just held it. So hopefully he pulls up pretty well, but very rewarding seeing him smash that PB. Let's get to Nerissa, the Launceston 10K is the big event there, isn't it? It's been huge for years, but something changed this year with that event, didn't it, for the 10K?
So, this is the first time I've done Launceston, but I think it was always the 10K sort of, from what I knew, was the big event. But they've kind of changed it this year, and they're trying to build the half. So the half's now got an elite gold label. So they're trying to get a lot of big names, and build the half as, the bigger event rather than the 10. And I think it's the only half in the Southern Hemisphere that was an elite gold label. So there's some good points on offer, and they had some good Japanese runners come across. So I think the half is now trying to be their like marquee event, and then just the 10, and they have a 5K as well and some kids races. So in the half, in the men's race, it was won by Tirioko Shimada in 61.12. Zach Hayne in 61.13 and Brett Robinson in was third in 61.20, and that was a really good race. I was sitting in the athlete area watching the live stream, and 2K to go, there was the three of them, and then Isaac would go to the front, and then Brett pushed to the front, and then they were tussling the lead, and then the Japanese went to the front, and it was really close, like sprint to the finish. That was a really good race to watch. In the women's, Jess Stenson got the win, 69.51. I think Liam Hopiani was a late pullout. She was the other big Australian name. Second was a Japanese lady, Yumi Yokoshima, 70.43, and Caitlin Adams, another South Australian runner, 71.14. So it was good. So the half is at 8 a.m. So they do the half first, and then the 10K is at 10:15. So it's a little bit of a later start for us in Queensland. Not used to running it, starting a race at 10:15 in the morning. And the 10K saw the return of Stewie McSween. So he looked so good, like coming back as we were still running out. He won in 27:58. Second was James Hansen, 28:47, and then Matt Buckle, 29:06. And then in the women's, Ruby Smee won in 32:57. Jenny Blundell, she's a big name as well, 33:27, and Kate Spencer in 33:34. So some really fast times there, actually, from both in the men's and the women's.
Yeah, and Isaac Hayne, that's sort of a changing of the guard, isn't it? He's super young, that guy. He mustn't be much older than 21. He's beaten Brett there by only 7 seconds. I saw a clip on Instagram, Narissa, of those three just charging. It looked like they're running like less than a 5K in terms of how the effort looked on the clip. But what a finish by him.
It was such a good finish. Because earlier on they dropped, like, Sam Clifford was a big name people were talking about. Andy was in there. They dropped like a bunch of good guys, Ryan Gregson, and then there was just the three of them battling it out, and they were absolutely going for it at the end. It was, really good watch.
Yeah, and how was your run there, Narissa? Obviously, you mentioned the PB at the start, but how was the experience and your pace through the race? Was it pretty consistent considering that it's a pretty flat course, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. So this is my first time in Tassie doing the 10, but I'd heard it's like a really flat, fast 10K, which it can be hard to find in Queensland. I feel like they're either later in the morning or they're not that flat. So I really was looking forward to running on a flat course, and 10 degrees weather was quite nice. Feels like 8. There was a little bit of wind, but it's starting to pick up around when we started the 10K, but I went pretty even. I didn't exactly see my 5K split, but it would have been around 17:45. And I finished in 35:35. I think I was 10th. But yeah, I ran pretty even. My first K was the fastest, 3:29, and my last K was my second fastest, 3:30. So I felt really good. Had a good, I haven't done that all that 10K for a while. So it was a little bit, oh, how is this supposed to feel at the start? Am I going too hard, too fast? I thought there'd be more men around me too, to be honest. I sort of had a few people, and then I just started passing a few as we were going towards 5K, and then once we turned around, there was caught up to one guy, and then he just tucked in behind me from 6K, and it was just him, and I could see another female a little bit ahead, so I was just trying to keep my eye on her, but this guy just tucked in behind me, and then at 9K, he just come out and sprinted past me towards the finish, but that was fine. So I did a, yeah, I was running a bit solo, but no, I had a good run. Can't complain with the PB. I was really happy.
No, that's awesome. To run your first K the quickest and the last K the second quickest. I reckon that's pretty ideal if you keep the everything else pretty consistent around that. But get this for depth, Stephen. Norris is 68. So 67 runners were 35, 30 or quicker in that 10K. That's remarkable.
It's a pretty deep field. And what we're I did see, but I've forgotten. What were you in the female field?
10th.
Like
So
what
I think
was.
I was, I think I was seated 12th, but I ended up being 10th, and there was 25
Awesome.
women under 40, which is that's pretty, that's good going
Yeah,
for
that did.
women's running.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, well done. Looked like a great run.
Thank you.
Oh,
There was a
congrats.
couple of other BERT people I'll give a shout out to as well that were running. So Matt Hansen was in the 10 as well. He ran just over 30 minutes, 30:07, which I would say is either a PB or very close to it. Pete Bracken was in the 10K as well. came flying past me. Adrian Royce was there too. He ran just over 36, and Jason Reed was in the half, and he ran a huge PB of 120.39. So shout out to Jason. He's running really well at the moment.
Yeah, I saw that on Strava. Awesome. Well, Nyrsa, we may as well stay with you for the fortnightly recap to look at how your training went and also how you the back end of this week, how you sort of had a mini taper, I guess, for a 10K. You've got to have something there to have some reprieve before you get into a 10K as well, don't you? So let's backtrack 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. I did taper this week. So 2 weeks ago, as I said, last podcast, always have Monday off. So Tuesday was Burt session. Warm up, we had 8 by 600 with a 75 of 75 seconds. And I thought it was going to be 75 seconds just standing recovery. It often is for short reps. And just as we were walking to the start, Pete said it's the 75 seconds float, which kind of changed my idea of what I was going to run for the session. So we were just sort of doing it around our normal loop, and we did the 600 on, and then it ended up actually working out about 70 seconds float back to the start just for one, which made one whole loop. So that we just ended up doing it that way. So my ons were about 325 pace, and then I was floating about 4 minute pace for the float. So it's about 7 Ks of work and 342 average. So I was pretty happy with that. I've never done that session before, so it was hard to know. I couldn't compare to anything I'd done, so I wasn't sure if it was good or bad when I was trying to analyze it afterwards, but I think it was okay. And then Tuesday, I did a 6K double in the afternoon. Wednesday was 25Ks, my usual 8K on my treadmill run down, and meet Liv, who I run with, on a Wednesday, and we did our 17 together, so that gave me a 25 total, which is just easy pace. Thursday, I did 4 by 2K. So, what I did is I did the first three sort of more half marathon pace, and then the last one closer to 10K pace. So, they were sort of just over 340. So, like 343, 342, then 340s, 340, and then 338, 339, and then 335, 334. So, I actually felt really good in that session. I was happy about often I don't feel amazing on a Thursday, but, I was happy that actually gave me more confidence that, yeah, I want to go to Launceston compared to my 8 by 600. And so, and then that day I did an 8K double. So that was Thursday. Friday was just two easy runs, 14K in the morning, 6K in the afternoon, both easy. Saturday, I went to the track and I met Andrew from Burt there. So since my daughter's surgery and the whole extreme stress around that, I felt like I've lost a little bit of my top end speed, which sounds strange, but yeah, I've gone backwards slightly just with fast paces. They just feel a little bit more uncomfortable than what they have been. So I'm just trying to work on getting that back. Like I feel like my aerobic base is fine. I've been running, but just anything under like 325, 320 pace hasn't felt as comfortable as what it did before. That so we went to the track and we did 600s again, what I wanted to do on Tuesday, faster reps with standing rest. So they weren't as fast as what I would have liked, but we got them done. They're all around 201, 202. And it was good having Andrew there. I went to the track the other week and they were doing the Paladin. So I had to divert my session to the road. And that's the first time that's ever happened at UQ track. And then I went to go there again and I was like, surely they're not going to have another event on. And there was the corporate games on. And luckily that didn't start till a bit later. So I did get on the track though. They'd parked their little golf buggy in between lane one and two. So we were having to bypass a golf buggy every lap. That was a little bit frustrating, but yeah, got that done. And Saturday I did an 8K double. Sunday was 30K long run, so that gave me a total. That's just easy pace, so that gave me a total of 144 pace for that week. So that was a solid week. Now this week was yeah definitely a taper week. So I don't always taper for runs, but Launceston was a bit of a bigger one, and I did want a PB, so I did do quite a decent taper for this one. Tuesday Burt session was it was actually 4 by a mile with 400 float. Which not the most ideal session for me going into taper. So I did 3 by a mile with 400 float. And I wanted to just run them at 10K pace. But I don't know if you guys remember Tuesday morning was ridiculously foggy, like so foggy. It was like so humid and foggy. And then half the lights on our new farm loop were out. So it was like pitch black in the dark. So I was really worried about actually running in pitch black darkness. I did not want to roll an ankle the week of Launceston or run into someone. But anyway, I didn't have a great session, to be honest. I don't know if it was a combo of the fog and the dark, and I was just a bit off. So my mile reps were only 338, 342, 345. We were floating at about 4 minute pace, and I thought, oh my gosh, I like not even hardly running my half marathon pace. How am I going to run 10K pace on the weekend? But try to put that one behind me. Yeah, it was okay, but it wasn't as fast as what I was hoping. Wednesday was just 14K, so I cut that right back, 14K easy. Thursday, I just wanted to do a little bit of touching half pace to, 10K pace to give me a little bit of confidence for Launceston. So I did 3 by K and I went 334, 332, 327, and then some strides. So that helped my more my mental confidence than anything else that, okay, I can still run 10K pace, even though Tuesday felt so hard. It wasn't even 10K pace. So that was good. And then Friday was just 8K and some strides, Saturday, 6K and some strides. And then today's the race. So yeah, and that I only did about a 5K warm up for the race, 10K, and then I literally did less than a K cool down because I had to get back to my room and check out. So about a 70K week this week. So nice little down week in a race.
For sure. Yeah. And definitely some specificity there too, Narissa. But what do you think of the taper week there, Stephen? Pretty, I like the 3K on a Thursday to Sunday setup for a 10K. Even potentially some strides in there as well. A bit quicker than 10K pace.
Yeah, I think it's good timing to like have a race like a month out from Gold Coast too. Like a lot of the guys we run with raced this weekend as well, and some of them just who are doing something at Gold Coast had a bit of a down week, so it's worked out good timing. I mean, like obviously the 70Ks freshened up a bit, being that you ran a PB. So yeah, it looked like a really good fortnight of training.
Yeah, what
Yeah,
do you think,
thanks. I've had a
Marissa?
fair few consistent weeks, so of sort of 135 to 145. So I did need a down week anyway. So it was good timing, down week and then a race effort. So
And I had a question. So, do you do like on your Monday off or any of the others? Do you do any strength and conditioning sort of work within the week, or is it all just running and that stuff gets dropped? Because yeah, I know that with me, that's the first thing that goes. I don't like doing it, and as soon as I'm busy, I don't do it. So.
I do. So I do two reformer Pilates a week. So Monday, Friday usually, and then two strength sessions usually on a Thursday and a Saturday. Obviously, I cut them back this week for taper week, but that's my usual routine. I've had whenever I get niggles, it's usually my knees actually. So I need to do like heavy back squats and things twice a week. Otherwise, my knees aren't happy, my patellar tendon. So I do pretty consistently to definitely two strength and two Pilates every week.
Yeah, nice. Do you have
Not that
a
I love it,
reformer,
but
Narissa, or do you go somewhere to do the Pilates?
I used to go to a studio where I sort of learnt all like the different exercises and things, and then I have my own reformer now, which works out better because I can just do it on my own time, fit it in. I don't have to drive down, drive back. It just fits in easier with kids and that sort of thing, and I can just do all the exercises that are relevant to runners. Like I liked going to the studio, but then you're doing like all these arm exercises that as a runner, I didn't really want to do. I just want to do core and legs. So I can kind of tailor it to exactly what I want to do. So I feel like the Pilates has helped me more so like coming back postpartum with the core and all that sort of thing. Whereas the strength is more like my prehab for my knees and things.
Yeah, we had those, well, one of those reformers here in our house that my wife initially had rented each week. It was like $40 a week, and I got involved about probably 9 months ago on that. We've since taking that back, and we're not paying that amount just for financially. But I thought it was fantastic, even as a guy, and looking at this machine, these reformers, you think, how can that thing work me that hard? But there are some serious exercises on there that can, I think, really benefit your running.
Yeah, I love the Pilates. I actually got mine from Rebel Sport. Have this reformer that's not too expensive that folds up. And it's paid itself back because the Pilates classes you go to are not that cheap Pilates. They're like $30 a class. So it was good to go there and learn all how to use the reformer, how to do everything properly, how to do all the exercises. And then I thought, oh, I can just do it at home now on my own reformer.
That's great. Very good. Well, we might get on to Stephen. And you've had a couple big weeks. Like, I think, again, specificity has definitely been there. You stick to usual Tuesday, Friday. And I thought your most recent threshold was very impressive. But let's go back 2 weeks, eh?
All right, so they'll be starting on the
It's the
19th.
19th? Yeah.
Yeah, I started that week. I came off a pretty decent long run and I went into just about an hour in the wetlands, so about 12K. Then actually Tuesday, I actually missed a day. I had some kind of like mystery illness. I sort of woke up feeling pretty sick in the middle of the night and made the call to not go on Tuesday morning. But I sort of thought, the way I was feeling, I thought, oh, I'm out for a few days here. But I took the day off work, and by the afternoon, so I didn't run on Tuesday. And by the afternoon, I was feeling pretty good. So then Wednesday, I got out. I went out with the intention, I'll just go and do hills and see how meet up with the group because we had a really good group on Tuesday. I think there was about 8 or 9 of us. Oh, sorry, on Wednesday. And I ended up doing 18K, hour 25. So I sort of came good really quickly and then just kicked on with the week. Then on Thursday afternoon, I did my jog back to the car, so the partway commute. I did a little bit extra because I skipped Tuesday, so that was 6K. But yeah, that's just my the commute. Then Friday, so that was my first key session of the week. I did 35 minutes straight at threshold with a bit of a decent warm up and cool down. I was pretty happy with this one. Clive started off his a little bit slower, so I had about 10 minutes with Clive going at what's about his marathon pace, which is a bit wild. But sorry, I'm just getting up on Chorus. I did with that. I sort of started off what I do on this a straight out and back thresholds is I like to put my watch into 2 reps. Like there's no float or anything, but I'll do. So this is I did into 17.5 minutes of just two. Just and that gives me a really good gauge of how I go on the first half and if I slow down and just can compare the first half and the second half. And then also the other thing is it starts beeping at me and I go time to turn. But yeah, this one went really well. So the first 17.5 minutes was basically I covered 5K, so that's bang on 3:30s. In that as well, I started my first K was a 3:35, so I got down and was running 3:27s, 3:28s for about the last 3K of the first rep, which was really good. That's about where I want to be getting down to for the half. And then I turned around in the second 17.5 minutes, I covered just over 5K. So it was 3:28. So it was about 60 meters over. And I finished in 3:26s and 3:27s for the last 5K. So could have been my legs were a little bit fresher missing the Tuesday. But that one felt really good. I was talking to some of the guys at coffee after, and I was sort of saying that if you told me to do another 2K, I probably could have done it without stressing about too much, which was a really good sign. But that was like my only session for the week. But with the warm up and cool down was about 19.5K. So it was a pretty nice morning. The next day, which was Saturday, I just got out for just under an hour. Went over to Deepwater Bend, which is has a fair bit of dirt and all that. Did about an hour over there, which was nice. Had the headphones in, listened to some music and stuff. Then Sunday, so the group were doing a marathon workout where they're on a bit of a small 6K loop. One of the things I really like to prioritize in half training is hills. I sort of think for me, I get fit running a ton of hills and going a little bit quicker on the Sunday, but just getting over the hills for me works really well. So I sort of made the call. Arvi Singh did this with him and John Hansen. They were both kind of keen to get onto the hills as well. So it was just the three of us. But We did basically the same loop that we did this morning, where we started on the corner of Bilson and Ellison Road, at Fox Coffee. We started there. You go out over through Wavell Heights onto the Brook, and then turn off at Windsor, up Eldon Hill, which is pretty nice little lookout. We go up and down that a couple of times, then down to Days Road over there, which is again a really big, a decent climb. Some probably not a big climb for some people. Then up to Sparks Hill Reserve at Everton Park, and then sort of back along the Brook. Did 29 7K in about 2015, so just under 30K again, which was a really good end to the week in 4:33 pace. So not particularly fast. I think we got down to about 4:15s at the end, but just a really solid run over hills, and was a good morning out. So then that was that week. I ended up it I think missing the day. I still sorry get on the other one was 96 was it sorry 97K. So with it missing a day, it still ended up being a pretty decent week, so I was quite happy with that. Then the next week, that was I start off the week the same way I start every week, with just about an hour in the wetlands on Monday, so just over 12Ks in the hour. Then Tuesday was I was back with the group. We were down at the waterfront, and so the session we did was we call it McFadden Fartlek, basically. So we call it that because so a lot of the guys in the Bush Turkeys are Moreton Bay members, and on Tuesdays there's a lady by the name of Christy McFadden. She's a really great person. Has given a lot of time to Moreton Bay Roadrunners over the years, and she has a like a little bit of a Tuesday session. And one of the regular sessions she does and gives to the group is it's 500 on 500 float, so kind of similar to the session that you did with the 600s, by the sounds of it. Basically the goal for this one for us is try and hit 3 to 5K pace for the 500s, and then try and float about 40 seconds slower than that. So I had a pretty good session on Tuesday. So I just get up the splits for it. I did about 4K warm up, and then it was into 500. So basically for the 500s on, I was trying to hit 3:10s, which I mostly did. I had a couple of quicker runs around the third and fourth rep. And then hit 3:10s for the rest of them, and then there was a 3:12 and a 3:13, but I finished on a 3:10, which was good, which is about where I want to be. And then I was floating somewhere between 3:40 and 3:50 for most of the recovery. So that ended up being 8Ks in 3:28s. As I said, that's a real favorite of our session, one of the sessions that we do that. I really like it because it's sort of you're touching on that top end speed, but you're also like kind of you're pushing yourself to that level and never really easing off. So for me, it's one, a really great workout, but two, it gets you into that sort of into that mindset of when it gets tough and just grinding it out. So I find it's like a really good session, like as you're getting close to races, just to mentally, toughen you up a little bit. Even when we've like I've done it worse than I did it this time before, and even when I do it, like it you can blow up quite easily, which I didn't on Tuesday, which was good. Then I did about a 4K cool down, so I think it was about 16K for the morning. And then that moved us to Wednesday, where I was back in the hills. It was a bit of a smaller group this week because a ton of people were racing over the weekend, so it was just Taz, Michael McGowan, and myself. So I did just over 19K in about 90 minutes. So that was a good morning. Thursday again, just the commute jog, but just 5Ks this time. Then Friday was my second key session of the week. I did 2 by 20 minutes to sort of threshold half marathon sort of effort, with a 2 minute float in the middle. It probably didn't go as well as I was sort of hoping. I was hoping to sort of hit again around the same, around that 3:28, for the second rep and sort of maybe just duck under 330s for the first one. But I sort of ended up going 330 for both. So I sort of covered 5.7 Ks in both 20 minutes. I was talking to Clive about it after. We sort of, there's this loop we do where we just start in Bracken Ridge and go down to sort of Fitzgibbon and Telegraph Road. It's not, it's definitely not a hilly course, but it's also not dead flat. And there's a couple of bits where you go under roads and then, yeah, a little bit windy and dark and stuff. So it isn't the flattest course in the world. I would have liked to be a little bit quicker. But when I broke down the reps, I sort of was ducking around that 328, 329 for most of the Ks. And then in the first one, I started a little bit slow, which I tend to do in a threshold. Not like if I'm not, like at the moment, I'm trying to sort of be a little bit more intentional with the pace from the get-go, just being that I'm a race that I want to run about that pace. So just getting comfortable starting at that. But I still am starting a little bit slower. So once I got into it, I was like 328s, 327s in the first one. And then on the way back, the sort of the slow Ks were the ones where I went under the road and went over a few little lumps. Then I wouldn't call them a hill, but yeah. So I sort of when I initially I was a bit like I would have liked to be a little bit quicker, and I was probably working a little bit too hard. But in the end, I was sort of like, well, it's a session anyway. You can't read too much into it, but it's also not a flat, road. Like the week before was on the waterfront, which is, dead flat. You run in a straight line and it not much, yeah, there's not much that slows you down. So that ended up being about 8.5 K for the morning. And yeah, a good sort of Friday session. Unfortunately, most people were just doing 30 minutes. So I was a fair bit solo for that, which was good. Anyway, so it takes me yesterday. I just did about 50 minutes, just over 10K, just around home. Did a little bit around the wetlands as well. And then that led me to today, which was exactly the same loop as last time, but I was in charge of the long run today. So I got a whole bunch of the turkeys out and we went over the hills. As I said, I lost about 5 minutes on the watch. So I had 28 recorded in about 2 hours 11, but I probably had about another K, so it's almost exactly the same as last week. But yeah, that this week was a really good week. Other than, I would have liked the session on Friday to be maybe a little bit sharper, but I mean, in the context of the whole week, was really good. Ran about 111 Ks, which is my biggest week since probably since Reefy was born. So we're yeah, getting some consistent weeks, and even with last week being a little bit loud, a little bit lower, was a good fortnight. So, yeah, I was pretty happy with this week, and yeah, feel pretty good after the long run. And yeah, that's the week.
Pretty good, mate. Yeah, I like those thresholds too over the rolling hills as well. Like you mentioned, you can certainly set up a flat track for a threshold and stick to a certain pace. But those ones sort of teach you to learn the effort rather than the pace and learn to like accept fluctuations in the pacing too. I think sometimes runners try and I'm part of this too. I did it this morning, but curate the perfect course and expect that on race day as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. Like I really like there's a so Ollie would have done a few of the little loops that we do in Threshold. Like probably once a month we'll go to the waterfront. But we sort of go between Douse Lagoon's another one which has just a few little rises. Then the couple of the loops around Bracken Ridge which have these little tiny hills and I just prefer it and I think that's the thing. It's you sort of got to tell yourself they're not flat, they're not, perfect, but that's okay. So it's all about the effort. And, in my experience in the past, usually on race day, what I'm running my thresholds out on a Friday in a half marathon, I can tend to, once I'm fresh, properly fueled, I don't have coffee before sessions either. I kind of save that for race day, or long runs where I'm really tired. So once you factor in all those things, the effort does get a bit, you run a little faster. But yeah, I agree. Like I'm not a big fan of doing them on a dead flat course. I like having that little bit of fluctuation and keeps me from getting bored too. So yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep. Narissa, any questions?
I meant to ask you last week, Stephen, who chooses the The bush turkey, sorry, sessions. Is that Clive? Who designs your Tuesdays?
Yeah, so it's a little bit. So what we do is we've got about six of us, who, so there's like Ewan McFadden, Clive, myself, who else is in there? Then Britt
Liam.
Chambers, Jess, and yeah, a couple others. I've probably forgotten someone there. Oh, Liam. Liam. Yeah, the big dog. How could I forget him? And so we sort of take a rotating roster. We'll take someone, we'll take Friday, someone will take Tuesday. So once every 3 months, someone within those will do the sessions for the week. We at the moment we've got like a Gold Coast marathon guide that we sort of set up that we've done a couple of times. So the Tuesdays will be a little bit aligned with that, but yeah, there's about six of us. Clive does it sometimes, and yeah, we basically on a Sunday afternoon we'll put in the coaches chat, we'll put in a message of what we're going to do the week, and we'll sort of say sometimes we'll tweak it a little bit, sometimes we'll go yeah, all good, but it's sort of yeah, between those six guys, a bit of a collaborative effort to taking turns and all that, which is really good. I really like it because you everyone has like a slightly different to like how they run sessions. So some guys will do like really by distance. Like I like doing things a little bit more by time, or just K reps, sort of like going between the two. But yeah, that's sort of how it works. So it's a really good little system we've got going, and yeah, that's how it works. It's yeah, a bit of a community sort of collaborative approach, which is yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's a bit different to Bert, isn't it? With that in mind, Narissa, but there's also like committee meetings. There's a monthly committee meeting too, where those people too that Stephen mentioned are a part of that. But anyone can go along and talk about certain things that they'd recommend and sort of get approved and things. Whereas Bert's really sort of run by Peter Bracken as the facilitator and coach, isn't it?
Yeah, I was interested to know how the bush turkeys do that, do their sessions, and who works out, what the session is, and it seems to be working. It's good.
Yeah, I think because we're kind of a group that started as like a bunch of mates, and it's sort of over the last about 4 years now, like grown into a club, and we've got like, probably most of the members are now guys who I didn't know before. It's different to any other sort of run group I've been involved in, but it works really nicely, and yeah, we sort of everyone's. A lot of people getting results, so it's working for us, I think.
Yep, agreed. It's fantastic. So are both groups, just different models. Just different models. I might get into my 2 weeks, eh? Last time I was on here, I spoke about that 3x3K in the long run and this idea of changing from Tuesday, Friday sessions and potentially Sunday, which I was thinking of doing threshold work in both Friday and Sunday to go also with the injury to now Wednesday, Sunday setup. Which is starting to work well, but I'll talk about how it didn't work so well in a moment. Had the Monday off as usual, but I went to the Tuesday again with that model in mind to bush turkeys and just jogged. That's May the 20th, that first Tuesday, and just jogged 13K. I then backed up for the Wednesday session. And the whole idea here, guys, I'm trying to just double up on some threshold work, but just a little bit quicker as well. And potentially moving forward the next few weeks, try and bring some faster stuff in. I'm just unable to run anything under sort of 320 pace for it. I just pull up niggly and sore. So I'm trying to just spend more time on duration and volume of threshold to compensate for that lack of speed work. And certainly, it has to be, if you can do it has to be part of any training up to the marathon, I think. And you guys too, I was just thinking. You've both got different models too, where Stephen's more a Friday guy and a Tuesday, whereas Narissa does a Tuesday, Thursday, and often even a Saturday as well. There's so many different models you can do. And Stephen's spending more threshold time on a Friday, whereas he's doing the sort of the hilly jogging Sunday long runs. But then into Thursday, this is where I pulled up pretty sore, guys, after Wednesday. I was pretty stoked with the session. Like after it and during it, it was okay, but yeah, I actually end up taking 2 days off running after that session. So the model stood, I guess Wednesday and Sunday stood. But in terms of running, I went to a swim the next day and some weights. So I'm sticking to a Thursday weights regime and trying to lift pretty heavy. I was on the squats originally, got up to about 85 kilo squats, but it started to hurt my back a bit. So I'm now on the leg press. And geez, you can lift a lot of weight. I'm not a strong guy, but I was lifting 200 kilograms on this leg press, thinking if you're like a weightlifter who's got some size behind you, you must be able to lift so much weight on those things. It's like that sort of 45-degree angle leg press where you're seated. So it takes all that stress off the core and back, which is probably what I need at the moment, just to really focus in on the legs and just keeping the reps low there as well. So high weight, low reps, and a bit of single leg work there as well. I then got out Friday on the bike, which I've been doing in the last couple of months. But I think this was the day, Stephen, I rode past you and got the video, if I'm correct, or maybe it was the week before.
No, that was that week, yeah.
Yeah, so Stephen, he's probably, in terms of any runners I know that can talk whilst doing a threshold, the best. I reckon Stephen's right up there. And I've got a quick clip of him on Instagram that I put up. And it was great to see him out there on the concrete paths of Sandgate. I then on the, oh, that was the Noosa weekend. So I just jogged around, got out early with dad and jogged around at the start of the event, following all the bush turkeys, dad and my athlete I spoke about before, which was great. This is the ironic thing, guys. So after that 12K on the Saturday, which was only at 5:30 pace, I was sorer than the next day running at 3:48, where I ran 4x3K at 3:48, which I was really happy about. I've certainly run faster sessions than that, but this is up at Majimba. So I've got a unit I share with family at Majimba, and there's a fantastic loop there that is pretty well known to some of the coasties. Ella McCartney, who we mentioned there before, she's there a lot. But if you're on the segments, like I did a segment or 1K rep session a few months back, and I ended up looking at the who was on the segments. And during my 1K segments, there was like marathoners doing marathon sessions who were far faster than I was. So it put me in my place pretty quickly. And that's why I love the sport. We get grounded pretty quickly with it. But I was really happy with that. 11:27, 11:25, 11:26, 11:24 for each 3K. And I do pride myself on trying to be consistent. I think it's really important. We just spoke about it. That's flat ground. So I think if you struggle to be consistent on the flat ground, you've got a good surface set up there, a good route, then there's something going wrong. You've probably gone out too hard or just don't understand how to measure that. I'm looking at my watch more than usual, Narissa. I spoke on the last episode about trying to run to feel more, but just because I'm not used to this as much as I have been in the last 3 months, I'm just finding myself looking at the watch a bit more than I'd like to, but it's just keeping me accountable at the moment. Then Monday, back into the next week, got out for a ride with Dan Storey, local Nudgee man, on the bike for the rest day, just 30K, rolling the legs over. Tuesday again, jog at Bush Turkey's 4:54 pace. Then into the session. This is where things have started to, something's changed, guys. I don't know what it is, but I've been chipping away with this reduced mileage. That first week was 58Ks, by the way, speaking of reduced mileage. And all the weights and stuff, the riding, I just think maybe it's coming together because Wednesday was a bit of a revelation. 4x2K with a 90 jog in between at 3:40 average. So there's that quicker pace coming into play. That's probably like my 2023 half marathon effort pace. For now, I think it's a little bit quick for half marathon, but this was a progression. So it wasn't on paper, these can look like the fact you just run 3:40s, but it was different in terms of progression. It was just in each 2K, 7:37, 7:27. This was funny, 7:17, 7:07, all 10 seconds quicker than each other. And 3:48 through to 3:30. So trying to get down to that, that definitely felt like a 10K, almost 5K effort after all that work before it. It's just that, that breathing you have where you're sort of, it's sort of starting, you can hear it, like, that breathing, which is below threshold. That's what threshold's all about, isn't it? Controlling that. So I was able to run the next day, revelation again, 5K in the morning, 7K in the arvo for the Nudgee Run Club, which is super social and slow, which I love. All the staff are scared to run with me at Nudgee. They think that I'm going to, for some reason, go into a session or run really quickly. But I remind them that that's just a super slow jog on the trails and grass of Nudgee College. It's beautiful. Then went to, that brings me to Friday. Got out again for a jog. Didn't feel great, 10K, but it was okay, manageable. Then had yesterday off entirely. I was meant to go for a swim, but you guys were both in Brisbane, weren't you? The rain started to come down and it just wasn't in the mood, to be honest. Like it was cold, rainy, windy, And I do that doubling up with my child's swimming lessons. He's four, and we head out to Nudgee to do the lessons, and I might jump in the pool for half an hour. So I just let that be, and which then left it till today for the long run. I'm so happy about this. Like this has just changed my whole mindset to running again. I love running again. I've really struggled to enjoy it like I usually do, and which is a awful thing to say, but it's true. If you're running pain free and running pretty well, you're generally happier, and it really affects my life as well. Like happier at work, happier around family, all that stuff, and just a such great vibe this morning at the Bush Turkeys. Heaps of runners out at coffee, watching the Brisbane Marathon live. Then we're hearing of Launceston, Nerissa. So I was just like, just on a great, in a great mood after that. 4 by 12 minutes. The reason I picked 12 minutes was because I did that 12K last week, and I hate like running a weird number, like a 13 or a 14, not a 15. So it's just like a weird area. So I went to duration, like Stephen was saying, time based. So I went 12 minutes to get me 48 minutes. And what I mean by that is like I wanted the reps to be the same duration so I could get back to the same spot to have a drink, that kind of thing, take a gel if I needed to, and then have that float, 130 float. If I'm going to be honest, on a public podcast, that float also involved probably 30 to 45 seconds of stopping and having a drink. So that you probably call that's a 2 to 2:30 sort of reprieve between each rep at 3:47 pace. Shout out to Bluey. He's a runner of turkeys. He was there for three or four reps, basically pacing me. There was a southerly wind coming up Bilson Road there through that'd be Geebung, wouldn't it? That area there,
Yeah,
Stephen.
it's J-Bum, yeah.
And it was, yeah, I'm not sure if you felt it on the long run running a bit slower up the hills, but we certainly did. And the first lap, we're like, oh yeah, this wind is okay. By the last rep, we're like, nah, this wind is not okay. And yeah, he dropped out at three reps. He'd run a pretty solid park run yesterday, to be honest. So I said, fair, mate, that's very fair to drop out at three. And he left me solo for the fourth one, but that was my plan. And I think that it's really important, I think, to understand to run solo at a good pace. Like it's good running in a pack in training to run maybe a bit faster and mentally help you, but you've also got to be competent and enjoy running on your own. So that last rep, I'm really confident now running for years to be able to do that by myself. Whereas when I started running years ago, I reckon if I was dropped in that last rep, I would have been nowhere to be seen. So super happy with that. 23K total for that. So I've gone past 21K. But the main thing here is I'm trying to get past the duration of an hour sub, 18 minutes for the long run to go above and beyond what I'll be running on the day. So an hour 40 with that. I'll probably stick around 23, 24K. I just think that like in terms of the threshold work during that run, it's probably too much to start thinking about 25K plus runs. And again, like if you're running a marathon, an hour 40 relative to a half marathon, if you're adding 20 minutes or 10 minutes over your marathon duration, that's a pretty long run. Let's say you're running 250 for your marathon, running 3 hours in a long run. Like that's enough. You don't need to be running 3.5 hours, do you? 4 hours. So I'm pretty happy with that. And I think this is a massive move forward for me, and hopefully I can stay here injury free.
And so I know last week, off the first sort of one of these workouts you did, you pulled up a bit sore. Are you sort of pulling up better during the day now, like
Yes,
or
yeah, 100%. Yeah, I sort of, there's times in the week where I'm almost limping. I think I said that the other week, which is crazy because, like, during the run, it's been manageable, but it's definitely walking around everyday life at work, at home, that's definitely getting better. And even in the warm up, Stephen, today, I was warming up with Bluey and Roman. He's another guy that I've coached out there as well and part of the Bush Turkey Track Club. I was saying to those guys that like this is the first warm up I've done where I don't feel worried about going into the threshold because like the pain level was 0.5 out of 10. Whereas in the last few weeks to month, it's been as high as like 4 out of 10 in the warm up. So then you're thinking, oh my God, how am I going to get through a threshold here if I'm already at that? So like I'm just stoked in the warm up to be in that position to run freely and really enjoy it aerobically, like as well. I got to the fourth rep, and that's where it started to come into play, where I felt like I was running probably 340 pace, but looking at my watch and it was 347 still. Like, okay, fair enough. I've probably maybe now gone above the current threshold of marathon pace, but it was good to challenge myself for sure.
Yeah, it's a solid Sunday. I mean, like I don't do threshold work in the long run. I sort of save it for so I think just being able to get down to around the effort that you need to run is, yeah, I reckon it's, if it all keeps progressing in the same way, I think you're going to be, yeah, pretty fit by the time, you know, in 4 or 5 weeks' time, whatever it is to go.
Yeah, I agree with Stephen. I think you're getting the work in, Ollie. I just think now it the mental part for you, I think, will be the thing that needs to come together. You need confidence from your sessions, not, yeah, detracting. So, because that's a big part of it as well, being confident enough on race day to hit those her paces. So I think, yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. Hopefully the injury keeps pulling up okay.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm definitely like, I was thinking, Stephen, though, like when I hit 21K last week at Noosa and even, or Majimba rather, and even today, like you're running almost 20K in your Friday sessions. So you could almost call that for some runners a long run. Some might argue that. But for a half
Yeah.
marathoner, it's still relative, potentially a long run that you're getting to. Well, I guess what I'm sort of pushing here is that the actual threshold work, that's 13K with threshold work, which I certainly don't recommend to the faint-hearted or new runners to the sport, but again, it's trying to compensate for that real lack of speed work. Honestly, I've done nothing in 3 months, probably one or two sessions where I've been able to go under 320 pace. So, I'm pretty surprised I can still manage that threshold work at that pace. But yeah, about 2 years ago, I was running sort of up to even 15K of threshold work in sessions, again a little bit extreme, but it gave me awesome confidence at 345 pace for those that 15K of works. I'm running 347 pace for 13K. Maybe I'm starting to get to that fitness closer to anyway. Very good. Let's get into the shoe rotations, do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Spend this last 10 minutes in that and we'll get Narissa onto a plane. Awesome. So guys, yeah, quickly, shoe rotations. We know why they're important. Specificity. There's so much choice out there now to pick shoes for jogging, for thresholds, for long runs, and for workouts, like shorter interval work. And variety, your feet getting used to and your body used to different shoes. And also preservation of shoes. Like you can just have the shoes for a longer period of time over the year if you're not wearing them every single run. But if I went to Narissa, what shoes are you wearing at the moment, and how do you rotate them through your week to really get the most out of your running?
I've actually narrowed down my different shoe collection recently. I wrote down, I have sort of three jogging shoes that I use. So I use the New Balance Rebel B4, the Adidas SL Evo jogger. That's actually a really good jogger. And the New Balance 1080. I sort of prefer like a lower stack, more minimal type shoe. That's why I sort of gravitate to the New Balance Rebel and Adidas. I've just always enjoyed that. Not a huge fan of the really stacked plush trainers. That's just sort of personal preference. And then so with speed shoes, like for faster running, I love the Vaporfly 3. I've used that in my last marathon and all my halves. And I do have a pair of the Vaporfly 4, so I haven't tested them out too much. But they're a little bit less stack and things, so I'm not 100% sure if they'll be a marathon shoe, the Vaporfly 4, but I've got a fresh Vaporfly 3 in a box in case I want that for Chicago. And then I've just got the new Puma Fast R actually, and I wore that for Launceston today.
Oh, how is it?
I liked it. I definitely liked it. It's a little bit more bouncy than the Vaporfly, so I don't know, I felt like I could turn over, like when I go to run faster, I feel like I'm more a cadence runner. I'll try to turn over faster and faster to go faster. And it was a little bit bouncy, so I wouldn't want to do it for really fast, but for my 10K pace, it was fine. It was great. I really enjoyed it. So I'd use that for the half. I think that's going to be my half marathon shoe.
Awesome. I was going to ask that, which was your racing shoe out of those, but that clarifies that. Any questions there on that rotation, Stephen?
No, it seems pretty pretty straightforward. Shoes are a bit like that. Whatever works for you, you go with, I think. So,
Exactly.
yeah, other than the Puma, they're pretty well known and commonly used shoes out there. So looking forward to seeing how those Pumas go for your longer term dresser as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to be a marathon shoe either. I'm just going to do a few more sessions in them. As I said, I have the Vaporfly 3 that I know works for the marathon for me. So, worst case, I'll wear them in Chicago, but I'm liking the Puma Fastar. So, we'll test them in the half and yeah, maybe a few marathon sessions and see how they go.
Awesome. Awesome. Stephen, how are you traveling there with shoes?
Yes, so I probably like a little bit more of the thicker ones, and the rest of it seems to. I, at the moment, I will mostly just get a couple of really boring jogging shoes. At one time, I usually then will have a slightly more exciting jogging shoe, and then I just basically have a good pair of super shoes, I say, for races, and then I'll train in my old ones. So currently what I'm running in is my jogging shoes. I've got the ASICS Gel Nimbus 26 or 27, one of those. It's incredibly boring, but I quite like that they're just something you can just plod around in and just feel comfortable, and I don't know, I'd like them like that. The other one, which I'm about to, I've almost gonna retire, is the Saucony Triumph 20 something. So yeah, that's pretty similar. It's a little bit more exciting than the ASICS, but yeah, I again, that's one that yeah, I'll basically just jog around in. My exciting shoe at the moment is the Mizuno Neo Zen. I know the Vistas are a very popular shoe, and so are the Zens, but I've never run the Vistas, but I love the Neo Zens. I find them they're pretty nice for long runs in particular, because you can sort of if you're jogging slow, which as a group we normally start pretty slow with everybody, and then we'll wind up as we go. Like I can quite comfortably run 4 minute Ks in them, and they feel pretty good. They feel less good the closer you get to sort of 340, but I'm not getting down that fast on a long run a lot of the time. So yeah, I really like those. I also, and then so in terms of super shoes, I'm a big fan of the Vaporfly 3s as well. I've had a couple of pairs of them. I've got one in the that are about to go. They're a few years old. I've got a slightly newer pair, which are also getting the old side, but I'm not thrilled that they've made the stack quite lower, because they're not going to be, I don't think they'll be a marathon shoe for me, the new iteration. So I recently bought a pair of the ASICS Metaspeed Skies, which are a little bit different, and I'm going to use them for Gold Coast and start training with them. But I yeah, so at the moment, I'll previously have been a Vaporfly sort of lover, but now I'll do the next race in the Metaspeed Skies. So yeah, I really like them. They're a bit different to the Vaporflies. Like they're super light, but they just feel really snappy, and they don't have that feeling of that really soft cushion where you sink into the shoe. But I just feel like when I'm running in them, I've run one race in them and done a couple of sessions. I just feel like you really bounce off the ground, and it's quite a different feeling. Whereas the Vaporflies feel like you sort of compress into the shoe, and you get a lot back, but these ones feel like they just snap your legs around. So I don't know, it's pretty horrible description of how they feel, but I really like them. So they're gonna be my half marathon shoe in a few weeks, and then I'm gonna, if they go well and I like them, I'll probably get it the next. They're really hard to get, but the next sort of release is coming out in the end of July, so I'll hopefully be able to get a pair of them for Melbourne later in the year as well. So yeah, I'm not, I'm yeah I said that's my shoe rotation. There's not too many in there, but yeah, just yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I'm sort of rolling myself four different shoes at the moment for the really short stuff. The Endorphin Pro 2, which is an old one, they're up to the fifth edition, is coming out this year. The reason I like that on the track is because it's, like Anirsa said, it's a lower set, like it's a less stack height. And I don't know, I don't love the higher stack shoes. So the Pro on the track, anyway, is probably, at the moment anyway, it's hard to get your hands on, but it's just better for that, more like the spikes. Obviously spikes are flat, and what you want on a track is to be, I think, a little bit lower to the ground. For threshold now, for these longer ones, I'm in the Saucony Elite 2s, they're $410, guys. So they must, justify something well in those. And I agree to a certain point, they're super soft. I've never run in a softer shoe than these. And it took me some time to get used to initially, but I am absolutely loving them. And what I prefer actually is more so of that, the heel toe offset, looking at that to be a little bit higher. I jog in 10 to 12 mil offset. That's that heel to toe difference. And the Elite 2s are at 39 and 31 mil. So it allows that 8 mil difference. For the fast, longy tempo stuff like marathon work, like Steven said, the Neo Vistas have been fantastic. But I do find them, again, like the stack height, it just doesn't feel normal for me. 44.5 mil, whereas the Glycerin, which I jog in, the Brooks, which I love, they are only 28 mil high at the back. So that's a massive difference. And I think if you've been running around there for a while, I know Steven has too, that sometimes the higher isn't always better to go higher and higher and higher. Like, where do we set the limit here? Obviously, 40 mil is for the elite races, but 44.5 for Neos is getting up there, and they're pretty popular in the Bush Jerky Track Club group. They're definitely bouncy, and you can sort of pick it up a bit. I think running like sort of sub 350 pace isn't that great in Neo Vistas. And as I mentioned, the Brooks Glycerin I've been in, I wear orthotics, guys. So the orthotics I have are pretty robust, and getting them in Nike shoes over the years has been pretty hard. They're quite narrow Nike shoes, and they just don't take those orthotics that well, and Brooks are fantastic with them, and same with Saucony. So that's my rotation. The Elite 2s are definitely the shoe I'm running in for the half marathon. I look forward to representing those on the race day.
Well, none of us will be in Nike then for once. We're all indifferent.
There was a time when everyone was in the Vaporflies. I did a marathon quite a few years ago, and I think I was about the I think everyone had Vaporflies. That just was the only thing you could get that was good. So it's nice that there's a bit more variety now, I reckon. Like, it's sort of good, you got a bit of choice.
Yeah, I do challenge runners to out there to try other shoes. Obviously, it's the financial burden, isn't it? Because you can't sort of. I've tried to return shoes and certainly had them say, "Hey, you can't return these because they're not at the right." Because they've noticed even one run, like the tread under the shoe is just not where it was initially, and trying to return them online and stuff like that. You can't. I'd love to be able to have shoes for like a month and then decide what really works for you. But that's not the way that it is it?
No, it is a bit of a gamble, especially with the super shoes, how much they're like, and you hear some people are responders to some and not others. Like I've brought the ASICS Metaspeed guy, Metaspeed Edge, sorry, and they just didn't work for me. Whereas heaps of people just rave how good they are, and I'm like, damn. So yeah, it is a hard one because it's not cheap to try to. That's why I've always stuck with Nike because I know it works. But I've ventured a little bit and I've got the Puma and I'm really happy with them. But yeah, it is hard to sort of change it up when you're so used to something because yeah, it's not cheap just trying them, and if they don't work for you, then yeah, what are you going to do? You can't really return them after you've worn them a few times.
Yep, agreed. Well, it's 2 p.m. Let's quickly, very, very quickly, guys, talk about what we're gonna change or increase over the next 2 weeks. For me personally, that Wednesday, I want to get a little bit quicker, that Wednesday session, and for Sunday, a little bit longer duration. So looking at like pushing that 14 and 15K barrier for that threshold duration in that long run, and generally mileage, trying to get to 75K and stay there for. I said 4 weeks when I started the episode. It's 5 weeks, isn't it, to Gold Coast? So till that time, I'll stick to that. How about Narissa?
I've got to work out if I'm doing Sandgate Speed Week.
Oh, yes.
Pros and cons to that, especially when you're back at a 17-minute runner. It's a bit harder to run faster. I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to do, but I'm sort of going to do a bigger week, then slightly easier if I do Sandgate, and then I'll have a bigger week, and then I'm thinking about doing the Roadrunners 10K Champs as well. So I've sort of got a bit of a big week, smaller week, big week, smaller week, big week taper all the way into Gold Coast. So we'll see if that how that goes.
Fantastic, Steven.
I'm having a little bit of a down first half of the week. I've got sort of a few things on at work that are going to make it difficult to get some running in. So yeah, be a quieter week for me than normal end of the week. Then I'm a bit the same as you. I'm tossing up if I do speed week or not. I've got to work that out this week, and depending on if I do speed week, I'll try and get a big session in and earlier in the week instead. But just could be a couple of different looking weeks, but I'm working that as I go. But for the next couple of days, it'll be a few easier days for me, so that should be nice.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll be at Speedy Park Run. I was about to say Speed Park Run this year, just because of the injury. If I'm there, I'll likely be filming and getting a bit of footage for the runners. But anyway, thanks again for your time, guys. We'll get this out this afternoon for the listeners. They, as I said from the beginning, they loved that last episode, and we had hundreds of listeners tune in. So looking forward to getting this out there. And thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Ollie.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks,
Bye.
Stephen. See you.
Did you know the local legends in running do online coaching? If you're looking for a little bit more guidance and coaching this year for 2025, there's heaps of events coming up. Jump on Instagram, follow the links. Cheers, and thank you for listening.